Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, greatest day of the week in the greatest month of the year.
Well, I don't know about that.
But yeah. Oh, no. May is the greatest month of the year. May and September are the greatest months of the year.
Well, September is because it's autumn and fall, right? That's what you're talking about? September, August, November. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know about May. I never really thought about that. Because it's what? Because beginning of summer?
Yeah.
Not too hot.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
but
exactly.
We were just talking, you know, before we came on the air that...
Bugs haven't gone crazy yet.
Right.
It's not humid yet.
Oh, and it's like perfect, right?
I was sitting outside on my little patio reading a book yesterday at about 3 in the afternoon. And that sun was so... It wasn't all that warm. It's like, it said like 68 degrees. That sun was really hot yesterday, wasn't it?
It was great. But it's also a little new on our
That's
skin
what I mean.
Too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's...
But I feel like a fish that has been like laid on the beach for a while and it's just all white from whatever.
How would you know?
Like a beached whale.
I see that.
Yeah. Big day today. We got, what is that? What do you mean?
Just the beached whale thing.
Okay.
Anyway,
a lot of stuff going on today. Today is National Lost Sock Day. I'm not even kidding about this. I mean, nobody's ever been in my apartment. Okay.
Right.
I'm not going to invite you into my apartment.
No, that's fine. I wouldn't go anyway, but go ahead. What's the story?
I got like 7 individual socks.
Do you have a washer and dryer in there?
right there in my thing. And I've got them laid out, just waiting if somehow, some way,
their
someday,
partner shows up.
Their partner comes back.
Yeah.
How does that happen? And it's the truth thing. It's not just a fallacy. This really happens.
You know, there's comedians that talk about.
My God.
And they're not close enough that you could match a couple pairs up.
I thought
like that.
About yeah. that. I may have done that a time or two.
I have a couple of pairs that are
me
almost
say,
the same.
Nobody will notice. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But how does that? It's crazy. I'm not even kidding. You can come into my apartment and I will show you like 7 socks I've got laid out just waiting somehow if I can find that matching one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would throw them out, but yeah.
Yeah, you would.
I don't have patience for that.
All right. But it is National Lost Sock
Day. Lost Sock Day.
Yeah.
Wow.
National Sleepover Day. Did you have sleepovers when you were a kid? I did it one time in my entire life, I think. In my buddy's house.
Well, we had sleepovers when I was a kid, but
I never had anybody sleep over my house.
Yeah, you did. We didn't know. We really fought those with our kids.
Yeah.
Because you got hell to pay the next day because they're tired, they're crabby, they don't sleep well, they don't eat well. And so we would, and other parents really didn't want them either. So we kind of would say, look, they can stay till 10:15, 10:30 maybe, but sleepovers, no.
Yeah.
We didn't like them when we were raising our kids. We really discouraged them. I mean, but I don't know that that's great for a kid either, you know, I think. Anyway, no.
You know, when I was little, though, we didn't have, I mean, we had, what? Okay, in the bedroom that I slept in, we had, me and my 3 brothers all slept in one bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Separate beds or?
Two beds. I slept with 2 of my brothers. We had 3 sleeping in one bed.
Yeah. So that was your sleepover.
Yeah. And they were all, I mean, they were a lot older than me. I mean, literally one of my things, my fears was them like rolling over and smothering me. I mean, they were all like in their 20s and I was like 8. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
I think we had that when I was growing up, but then we had my.
How many bedrooms did you have? You had like, what, 12 kids?
11.
11.
1, 2, 3. Yeah. 5.
5 bedrooms?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
And is that just for the kids? Did the parents have a bedroom too? Or
no, they had. My parents had it. No, I got to think here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was 6.
6 bedrooms.
Yeah, my parents had their own.
Mind-boggling. That's incredible.
Wow.
Were you the richest people in Two Rivers?
No, not at all. We were
Did you have the biggest house in Two Rivers?
I don't know. I don't know. We had
he hesitates.
Well, no, we had a, that's 11 kids is a lot. And we had a, no, it wasn't that big of a house. I go back there now and it's like, doesn't seem like that big of a house at all, quite honestly.
How many bedrooms do you have in your current house? Because that's a big house.
Yeah, no, we only have 4.
Well, you're upstairs.
Well, that you could make that too easily.
You could, but
and you could have six bedrooms easy in your house.
So, yeah, okay, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the sleepover.
No, we're talking about your privileged life.
I will tell you, though, which is kind of cool. So my brother and I, my older brother and I, the one who's a priest now, we shared a room. And for the beds, you know what I did? I went to a, we went to a like hospital and got hospital beds, so that so you could like raise the back to watch TV and stuff. Really, I'm not kidding you.
Again, Todd.
Hospital beds. I mean, who thinks of that? That's a great way to save money. And
I always wanted bunk beds. I would have given anything for bunk beds. Didn't they seem cool?
Yeah, it's a long fall though if you fall out of bed. You know what I mean?
But I mean, still, wouldn't that be fun? I thought bunk beds were the cool. Some friends that had bunk space beds, it's savers. Like, oh man, you're so lucky.
It's great for space, right?
Yeah.
As an adult, I don't like them, and here's why. Because I host a ghost podcast kind of thing, so people tell stories about experiences. Yeah. Bunk beds come up more often than any other piece of furniture, like credenzas or mirrors. It's always the haunted bunk beds. And in fact, remember the TV show Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack? They were in, I think it was Horicon, Wisconsin. There was a story about they bought a bed into the house, and then the house burned down, and all these hauntings happened before it, and all that kind of stuff.
Bunk beds.
Bunk beds.
Wow. Really?
Like, never would have thought of that. Me either. What? Like, give me an example. What's so mysterious or whatever spooky about?
I don't know, but they, you know, the stories always kind of go, you know, we bought a set of bunk beds, put them up in the kids' room, and then all of a sudden we were having things happen. There were shadows in the house, and we were hearing talking coming down the hallway. Beds.
Wow. Oh.
The never haunted bunk bed.
Okay. Any kids listening now, we all freaked out.
Yeah.
But you're right about that. Those are always...
Yeah.
Friends had bunk beds.
The only sleepovers we had, I had a tent. I had a pump tent in my backyard.
Yeah.
And me and my buddy, Kevin Terzaghi, we'd sleep in there like twice a week all summer.
Yeah.
That was always fun.
Yeah, we had sleepovers in the tent.
Yeah. Red Cross Week. God bless the Red Cross, man, what they do. Birthdays, Prince Fielder, 40 years old. Billy Joel, 75. Still one of the all-time greats, man. Love Billy Joel. Candace Bergen is 78. Tommy Rowe. Oh, I hated Tommy Rowe. Dizzy. Remember, Todd?
Absolutely.
So dizzy, really? Oh, that was spinning.
That it was a big
summer of like 69, maybe.
Oh, God.
They had all the, remember the 1910 Fruit Gum Company? Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Sugar, sugar. I used to hate those songs so much.
Why?
Bubblegum is what bubblegum they, music, they were called that.
Yeah. Oh, this was so popular. Oh, my God. This. Everybody sang this. That's funny.
The original ABC hit recordings of Tommy Rowe.
And the Shondell.
Yeah.
My head is spinning.
That's actually a good song. I mean, it's, you know, it's just the rhythm. It's easy. I don't know. That's not a bad song.
Suppose if you're hanging out in your bedroom in your hospital bed with it up.
Elevate my bed a little bit more, Mom. Ma!
I want to listen to Tommy Rowe.
Elevate my bed.
Okay.
I'm watching the monkeys.
She gets into that, too.
Candace Bergen.
Anyway, she didn't elevate. I had my own remote.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Candace Bergen. Tell you a crazy story about her. Okay.
She needs
not that. No, Amy Pierce. So during the Manson things, when Charlie Manson's people massacred all the people.
Yeah.
Okay. Her boyfriend at the time was Doris Day's son. Doris Day's son was the intended victim.
Oh.
Instead of Sharon Tate and those people, he used to live in that house. Charles Manson had gone there. Charles Manson felt like her son screwed him over. Okay. Wow. Doris Day's son screwed him over by not getting him a record contract. Doris Day's son was the initial target.
Wow.
When Charlie Manson and his girlfriend at the time was Candace Bergen and used to stay there at that house with him.
Wow.
Yeah. That's freaky.
Have you been to that house and walked that area home?
No, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool. I mean,
they didn't knock it down or tear it down or burn it down or something?
That's that whole Haight-Ashbury area.
Okay, so anyway, so then the cops, you know, one of the main prosecutors, Bugalusi, who's from Duluth, Minnesota, okay, they were like, they really, really interrogated him a bunch, that if he was hanging out with Manson at the ranch and, you know, yada, yada, yada with those girls, those crazy girls. And he actually took a picture of Candace Bergen and goes, this is my girlfriend. You think I'm going to be hanging around with those scuzzies? This is my girlfriend. And Candace Bergen was called in on that whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what? So Doris Day, she was a little different, right? She's all in those animals. And remember that? I mean, Doris Day, kinda, she kind of went off. I don't know. I thought. Anyway,
I don't know. I thought she was always pretty cool.
But she got out of the spotlight, right?
Yeah.
Kinda,
yeah,
and just, but really, was it because of that?
Yeah. And that's what she was doing, that TV show. Remember? She's the Doris Day show. Yep. K-Sara. Yeah, yeah. That thing.
Oh, God. Okay. That's.
No, that's a good song.
I'd rather listen to Dizzy.
Are you serious? I love K-Sara.
Yeah. I do too.
Okay. What did her son end up doing? Do you know?
Terry Melcher is his name.
Oh.
I think he became a music producer for his life, but that was his name, Terry Melcher. And he was the intended target for Charles Manson's people. Yeah.
Okay. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
You're right. Producer.
Okay. Yep. See?
All right.
Billy Joel, I listened to such a great thing. You know, sometimes, do you have the thing in your car? What's it called? Where you get satellite radio?
Sirius XM?
Yeah. Do you have that?
I don't.
No. Oh, there's a Billy Joel channel.
Really?
Okay. And it was with his, I was listening to it, and it was with his daughter. I don't know how, I think he had her with Christy Brinkley. But she would talk about all these songs, you know, not just the big songs, you know, and talk about the meaning, where they really came from. Man, was that interesting. Yeah. It's like when she was like 7 and her dad started writing this song about her and whatever, and man, was that good.
That's cool.
I love those behind the music things, where songs come from.
And they're all there.
Yeah.
I mean, really pretty much every, even the name of the band or something. Yeah, there's always a story behind the story.
There's always a real meaning behind it. I love those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And like what songs really mean when you break them down into everything. So anyway.
He's 75. He's going to be around. I mean,
he's still good. He's still the same. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How did he get Christy Brinkley though?
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my Lord. I went in search of Christy Brinkley one time. What?
Yeah.
I did.
How? Okay.
Yeah. And
finish the story.
I know, because we're going to break pretty soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was going out with this big, okay, when I was working in Flint, they had the Detroit Grand Prix. I think it was the first year of the Detroit Grand Prix. It was being held right in downtown Detroit.
All
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend was this French big-time playboy
racer,
race car driver.
Yeah, those guys love racing.
And the big thing, and we went down for like media day and everything, and they said Christy Brinkley was there. We walked through all of Detroit trying to find Christy Brinkley. Honest to God, true story.
How did that work out for you?
Yeah.
Not good, but then he got killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got killed in a crash. So I thought I had a shot.
So then you really, there was an opportunity, Johnny.
I know.
Where were you?
Couldn't find her. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was right when she was in Family Vacation. Remember the red Corvette?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Driving next to the,
yeah.
Those opportunities don't come around real often. You should have capitalized on it.
I tried, Jim.
Oh, man.
I know. Now I'm here with you.
Yeah,
all right. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, set our break. We got a great show coming up for you, folks. Motto of the Mayor. Stay with us. Got this text here. I saw Tommy James and the Shondells last year at Waterfest in Oshkosh. Interesting that his record company was a front for the mob. Tommy was owed a lot of money for royalties, but never saw it. Terry.
Wow.
I can't picture.
He seems so like bubblegum,
kind of white bread. Well, he was involved with the mob?
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
I know some of the old guys that you really like, who are some of the guys that you really like? The Jersey Boy type guys. You know what I mean?
Frankie Valli.
Those guys. That was way back. But I like
but
those guys.
But I think
guys.
They were, the mob was kind of behind them a lot. Yeah, that's how they kind of got their starts and everything.
It is. And that's how they got
Sinatra.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
They were top line, front line names at some of these great clubs. They didn't work their way
but
out.
They just got...
Well, no, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you. That's how they got...
Yeah, I think Rocco made a call. Hey, I got this guy.
Right.
I need you to put him on stage Friday night. Hey, we're booked, Rocco.
And
I'll tell you what.
He's the headliner.
I could do two things. I could either come here and sit in the front row and watch him perform, or I could take a bat, and I could come into your office, and I could smack you till white stuff comes out of your head. Which one would you prefer?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they played for keeps back then.
They played for keeps.
They still do, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's true. If you look back at some of those, you know, Frankie, like you said, and who's the... a lot of those guys. They, who's the guy that played Gidget? No, who's the guy that played with Gidget? He was in
with Gidget. You got me.
You know, he was the beach.
Poor Todd. We always look at Todd.
No, Todd.
Got,
yo, beach.
He's got the answer to everything. If we don't know, we just.
Well, I know Gidget, but I don't.
Beach Bongo. It was in the movies.
Avalon.
Yeah, Frankie Avalon.
But that wasn't Gidget. That was Annette Funicello.
Annette Funicello.
Yeah.
Okay.
She always made her name made me hungry because I always thought of fettuccine.
Yeah. She made me hungry too. And he, how you doing, Annette?
Okay.
Hey, let's go have some fettuccine.
He was here at the Carlton too. Times.
It's like everybody's been there.
They have.
It's unbelievable. Did you get autographs?
Oh, yeah. I got a box.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got. But you know what? Good are autographs.
Ah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Jim, I want to talk to you about that because I'm in need of some money and we don't have to talk about that on the air. But if you give me those, I could sell them and, you know, take care of some
debt. Todd's in need of some money because of the worst car.
I know. You know, these cars. I think. So Todd bought a car and something happened to it and it's like, just right out of warranty, like not far out.
I've got the same car.
Get this.
We trade horror stories on Kias.
Right. And I don't know. I really believe in that whole planned obsolescence, right? Like they make it and it's like, get this. I bought
They don't want it to last too long, well, so no, you have
so
to
you
keep
buy a new one. Yeah. I bought a Range to go over like the stove. And it had like a 1-year warranty. And it died like in 11 months.
Aren't there books written about that?
But I just want to say that. I want to finish my story. But the guy said, no, it died in 13 months. That's what it was. So it had a 1-year warranty. In 13 months, it stopped working. So I went to the guy and I said, hey, look, you know, this is under warranty. He goes, well, no, it's not, man. You, I said, look, I bought it, but then it sat in the garage for 2 months while we were remodeling the kitchen. So it's only been in operation for 11 months. The guy's like, no. I said, you installed it. Here's the day I bought it. Here's the day you installed it. That 60 days shouldn't count towards the warranty because now it does. So you know what I mean?
I do.
I was mad. I don't want anything there.
Yeah.
But I do agree that I do think that they think, okay, this doesn't have to last forever. We don't have to build a Rolls Royce here. Let's just build something that you're going to have to buy another one.
And I don't expect it to, right? But at 40,000 miles.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
It's terrible. It's a defect. I know. And then they start on fire. Kias can steal them easy.
Here's what I should do. I should drive it. If I can get it to Milwaukee, drive it and just leave it sit because I'm sure somebody would steal it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did I say that live on the air? Because now I can't do it again.
Nobody's listening.
Oh, man. No, a car should last 100,000 miles.
But there has been books written about that. Oh, the old auto factories people think there was a thing where certain things were only built to last a certain amount of time, that they could have been built to last longer.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, and one of the things they compared it to is the old Subarus would last forever. And it's like, why is this starter in the Subaru, why will this last for, you know, 300,000 miles, and the one you get from this company in Detroit lasts for 80,000 miles? Yeah. There was stuff written about that was
it's planned. It's to make it obsolete. So it's planned obsolescence.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Planned obsolescence. Yeah. That's a good term.
That'd be a great band name.
Planned obsolescence. Well, I like that.
I like it a lot.
Well, you learn that in school.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
direct from
Detroit,
Two Rivers, what you've been waiting for, planned obsolescence.
That's not a good name. That's not a good name.
Oh, I think it's great.
And no. Jim comes running out his tights.
Planned up.
Singing barbershop.
Yeah.
But then you're planning yourself to be obsolete. That you don't really. That's not a good name. I mean, that's not a good term.
Let me ask you. Barbershop people. Did they? Okay, so your uncles, I mean, and your dad, and that you guys were best in the world. Okay,
yeah they were.
Where did they consider you with your musical talents?
Oh, weird shower singers.
Okay, you weren't as good as them.
Oh God, okay, not even close. They were.
Well, I mean, your uncles and your dad. You'd think you'd have the same. Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, look, those guys, I mean, come on, they're in a class of their own. I think we were good. Our harmony was good. You know, we were entertaining. But, I mean, we sang easier music. Like, we sang in the good old summertime and, you know, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Those are a lot easier songs than some of the songs like Old Green River and some of the things that they sing, which is, you know, the range was much higher. So, yeah, we sounded good, but we were also singing pretty easy music.
So what were you considering? Because we had those guys in here last week from Appleton. We're like, this guy's a alto or whatever, well, and a soprano.
Tenor.
Or Tenor.
You know, tenor would be the highest part, bass, and then there's the lead, which I would sing in the barbershop, you know?
You're the lead.
Or the baritone, which is...
Would I be a baritone?
You could be bass. I think you have a pretty good voice. Well, you don't have a good voice. You have a deeper voice. But yeah, you need all four parts. And people, you need really strong...
Why would you say I don't have a good voice?
Well, barbershop, Johnny, you sing along and you're
I have a good talking voice, though, don't
you? Oh, you do
I?
Have a great talking voice. Oh, okay. You're the best. Okay. There's just no question about that. Right. But to translate that into singing is just, you know, that's, no. Mm-mm.
Why? Why is that?
But I would say that if you're going to sing, you should probably sing in a choir with a chorus with, you know, 100 guys so you can kind of fade
blend
out.
In a little bit.
Right, blend out. Barbershop, Johnny, there's only four people, you know. It's all a cappella. There's no music. There's no instruments. So you got to be spot on. I mean, you got to be really good to sing barbershop, I think.
I think I could do it.
I think you think you can, too.
I think I could do it. I think I could be
that
one guy.
I love your confidence.
I could be that one guy in the Oak Ridge boys.
Oh, Joe?
Whatever.
No, that wasn't Joe.
I could be that guy.
Yeah, you could. That was right on what you just sang.
Thank you.
What was his name? Because, the Oak Ridge boys, again, they were here a lot.
I saw them one time, and he always seemed a little stoned or something.
Oh, Richard Sturban.
Yeah.
He seemed
a little...
And he
used to sing backup for Elvis.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He seemed a little mellow on stage.
Clover and life is one beautiful.
This is Barbershop.
Is this your family?
No trouble, no, annoying. Each one is enjoying the good old summer time.
Come on, Jim. Get in there.
Yeah. The good old
I know this song. We sing this all the time.
In the good old summer time.
Come on.
This is easy.
Blend it. Come on.
Come on.
The shady lanes with my
if
baby
you don't, I will.
Mama.
Come on, Jim. Give
baby
us a little something.
Hold her hand and she holds yours. And that's a very good sign. A sign that she's your tootsie wootsie.
Good old summertime.
There you go.
Love it.
It is. Listen to this tag. Isn't that nice harmony?
From the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, and a good looking Thursday morning out there. We got my good buddy JJ Korn, former professional boxer coming in who does great things now for the Menominee Nation. We got Tarl Knight coming in, of course, the Tarleton. Boy, we poor Tarl. Almost every day we schedule something for his
exactly.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to have this at the Tarleton.
Call Tarl.
Call Tarl.
Toby sent you.
He doesn't know we've got him booked for the year.
But what a great launch pad. It's just so
absolutely
nice. The sight lines are great there. Acoustics are great.
Well, I told you when I was in real estate that we looked at that as far as converting that to a really cool office space.
Yeah, I'm glad he's using it
Me
for
too.
Something a little bit more retail where we
totally
get people
agree.
In there. And, you know, Nick Barnett had his place there.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
You used to hang out there all the time, didn't you?
Not a lot, but
I thought
a
you
little
did.
Bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. Little
mm-hmm. bit. With Emily Smith, Green Bay YMCA, coming up, talk about their big golf outing. We've got Sean Lynch, Winnebago Bicycle in Oshkosh. Which would be great. And then my buddy Greg Mills from Tucson, or actually it's from Scottsdale now. And I put a picture on my Facebook. I know some people are like, get that off there, about the rattlesnakes in his backyard and his patio. You just can't, you know, in Arizona, man, they're you know,
they're
especially
there.
They're opening up, you know, it's expanded so much.
Oh my God.
Scottsdale is an entirely different place than when I lived in Scottsdale. And I lived in the one bad neighborhood in Scottsdale. Honest to God, I lived in the one bad neighborhood that there was. And there was Seven Seas Massage Parlor was right across the street from us, and a junkyard and everything. Now Scottsdale is like Hollywood.
Oh, it is.
It's mind-boggling. But, you know, you move, you know, it keeps going further north, and you're moving more into the desert. And the critters that live in the desert have been there for 50,000 years
right,
or whatever. And they're like, we live here.
Right.
We're not all of a sudden moving, mm-hmm. and you're moving into their habitat.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's, oh, my God.
It's not like they invaded it.
No, it's
we
like
invaded them.
We've been here forever.
Yeah, but
and
I don't.
You have to deal with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But you will get in such trouble. You'll literally go to jail, I believe, if you kill a rattlesnake in Arizona. Isn't
really?
That unbelievable?
It's like the bald eagle?
They're protected. Yeah.
That's cool.
No,
I didn't know that.
I don't believe it. I don't think they should be protected. I don't think they should be protected. I don't think sharks should be protected.
Oh, I think if you study their purpose, I think we need them for something. I don't know what it is, but usually if they protect something, it's not because they're cute or it's because they
serve a
purpose.
See, I think anything that can kill you, you should be able to kill. Don't you?
Well, then nothing would be protected, John.
Oh, okay, rabbits. I mean, no, a rabbit's not good. You know what I mean? But I mean, a rattlesnake, if you're walking, a little kid's walking in the backyard and the snake bites them, could kill them. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't you be allowed to kill that snake?
That would be different. That would be more self-defense. But just to go out and hunt them and shoot them and kill them, I think the judge would go easy on you if you say, hey, look, this snake was attacking my kid and I killed it. And then the judge would be like, nah, all right, I'll give you off. But you just go out and shoot them and hang them on the wall. And I think that should be illegal.
I got some skins I can give you.
Yeah, see, it's people like you.
I made a hat pad for my daughter one time with the rattles.
See, it's people like you is why we have that law. But, okay.
So anyway, this segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now's the time, limited time, zero interest for up to 60 months. That's 5 years. You have until May 10th for this incredible deal. Jump on it. What's the date today?
I was going to say, Johnny. Okay.
Through tomorrow.
You have through tomorrow for this phenomenal deal. Give them a call. Pella Windows and Doors, zero interest-free financing up to 5 years if you order by midnight tomorrow. Certain restrictions apply. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
You know, I would do that because that financing is great. Like I said, when I bought my windows, they didn't offer that. But for them to come over and assess your home and give you something, it costs nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
those meters. I had a guy come over to my house one time who had those meters where it could tell how much air was coming through your windows.
Yeah, Johnny, those were scammers. They just were
what do you mean?
Those were light meters.
What are you talking about?
They would move. They would go along the wall. Okay, dark, dark, dark. Oh, look. There's. You're losing heat here. All that was a light meter, and as it got lighter, the meter would come on. Those weren't true.
Come on.
Yeah. Right, Todd.
I don't know. I think it probably could be true.
No,
sounds
really?
Like something.
Those were light meters.
I had a guy do that in my house.
I bet you did.
And I mean, it was years ago, but
yeah. And then you said, "Oh," and he went over. So he would go down the hallway, and then he'd go to your door and say, "Oh, look, yeah. There's heat." Yeah, well, that's because there's more light.
I thought it was an
your
infrared
door.
Type thing. That
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's no. You got to get some professional like Pella.
You know who they say were the biggest scammers? But made incredible amounts
of
money.
They all made a lot of money. I'm not...
Door-to-door vacuum cleaner.
I was going to bring that up.
What?
Sales guys.
I got nailed on that.
Did you really?
We
Kirby.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. What are you talking about? That was one of the best door-to-door salespeople out there.
But they had some tricks of the trade.
Well,
make it seem like your rugs were a lot dirtier than you were.
Well... Yeah. I don't know. Worked on us. We bought it.
Me too. Me too.
Those are great. And
my mom had one growing up.
Harvey was
you
the guy we bought.
You kill somebody with one of those things. And they're so heavy.
Yeah. Those
you
are know? Unbelievable. But there's a certain way to carry them where they're not as heavy. I'm sure they taught you that. But those Kirby, I remember the kids were little and they're sitting around in a circle and the guy throws some dirt on the carpet.
That's
the,
what I mean. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Dad, did you see
yeah.
it? It's like, yeah, just he cleaned it up. So, yeah, we were going to buy it anyway because those become like generational. Like my mother-in-law had one and we've had it for years. Those are pretty good pieces of equipment.
Can you think of a worse job though?
No.
Than a door-to-door salesman?
Well, how about the guy with the knives?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think those were good knives too. Was that the cutlery, the Chicago cutlery that went door-to-door?
Wasn't it Cutco or something like that? We saw somebody at the Brown County Fair last year.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of a sucker for these guys. Just at least listen to their story.
Right.
Right? Because they're working hard.
And they're
he still texts me and emails me. Hey, man, you going to look at these knives? Oh, you bet.
Do you remember the one where the commercial, they'd cut a beer can or a soda can with the knife?
Yeah. I don't know if it's cutlery. But anyway, the knives that we got, they're lifetime sharpening. You send them back. Sharpen them, send them back to you. Yeah. I mean... those are good salespeople, though.
I'm not taking anything. Yeah, but I think that would be the worst job. But I would do literally anything in this world for a job before I'd be a door-to-door salesman.
Would you hire a sales guy that did that?
Absolutely,
so would I.
No
so
question.
You got to look at this. The guy that we bought ours from, Harvey, and he died recently, did it for his whole life, and he made a good living.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of it's a stepping stone. And say, look, I sold, and it's like, wow, if Because that's, I mean, you're talking about a cold call.
Oh, my God. You know,
they don't want to see you.
No.
And then you got to get this appointment, and you got to make sure that both the spouses are there, because nobody's going to buy a vacuum cleaner without, got to get the family. And the work they do, I don't know. I give those guys a lot of credit. I don't buy out of sympathy. I think some of them have some really good products. But if they call and work it, and I'm like, yeah, come on over. Because they have to do so many calls to keep their job, whether they sell it or not. But they have to have, I don't know what it is, how many a week. But anyway, but that Kirby thing, that's been a joke for years. But man, oh man, it's a good product. And I think, do they still do door-to-door? I don't even know.
They do. I mean, because I bought mine in the last 5 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You bought your vacuum cleaner from a door-to-door salesman?
Yeah, I did. I had a Kirby growing up. My mom had one.
Okay. Right.
And it was and ran forever and ever and ever. And so I guess there was maybe a little nostalgia there.
Exactly.
And I think it was right after my mom passed away too. So there was a little bit of that. But I will tell you, I've got a dog and it works wonders. So
wow.
And it does floors. It's not just carpeting. It does hardwood floors.
Listen to us. We're selling Kirby's on this
station. I just got a text from somebody here.
We need a sponsor.
The other job, do people remember encyclopedia salesman door to door?
Yes.
Is there anybody out there that's ever done that, that's ever had to go door to door? I used to hate it even when I was a kid for school. You have to go and sell
candy bars, or
magazine subscriptions.
Yeah. Pizzas, candy bars.
I hated that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I hated that. I think I got.
And now parents just bring a sign-up sheet to work and make their coworkers sign up for it.
Exactly.
But I do think, if I'd have to look back, but I think I was the number one candy bar.
Oh, I believe it. No, I was. Here we go.
I'm not kidding. And it was door to door.
Yeah.
It wasn't the sign-up sheet at work. No, it was really door-to-door. But, I mean, people were nice. They were 50 cents. And, we sold a lot of candy bars.
Well, I'll be honest with you, if it was a sports team or something like that, or even Cub Scouts, any of those kids' groups, I don't care what they were selling, I always bought.
Oh, man. I
always
told those kids, and those kids at East know that, Notre Dame, I'm like, you come over here, anything you're selling, we'll buy. Because we want to support the kid. And, you gotta knock on the door. They're with their brother, because parents don't want them to go by themselves, which I totally understand. But they buy some of that stuff they sell, though, the coupons.
Yeah, You never use them.
No, you don't.
I know. It's just a donation.
We have done that. So you can keep the card.
Yeah.
Here's your $20.
I agree.
Anyway, but it's nice to support them, because some of these kids, it's for the organization, like you said, John, but some of it's for the kid to go to a camp.
Absolutely.
And it's an individual thing.
I'll do anything for kids.
So
I got this one. Somebody just texted in, the scummiest were the guys selling smoke detectors. I've never had that. I've never had somebody selling smoke detectors. Have you?
Scummiest. I didn't know that was a word.
Have you, Todd?
No.
I've never heard of that. Somebody selling smoke detectors door to door.
Yeah. No.
No, I've never heard of that one.
I didn't buy those.
I was the Journal Sentinel carrier.
Oh,
year for selling subscriptions in Marinette and the UP.
Kudos to you,
Brian.
Brian, that's a tough one too. But you're interested in the news. You want it early in the morning, and you get him to say yes a couple times, and then boom, you got this promotion going on.
Were you a paper boy?
My brother was. I wasn't.
Were you, Todd?
No,
I did. Maybe
I wasn't either.
When he was gone, I probably did the route. I don't know. But it was all on your bike. It was our neighborhood that was the route. So
I remember guys in my school sold the Grit. Does anybody remember the Grit newspaper?
Was that like that entertainer, that weekend thing?
I don't know what it was, the Grit.
Ours was we had the Journal Sentinel.
What was the Grit? Anybody out there sell the Grit when you were a kid? The Grit. It was some kind of a newspaper.
Yeah. Statewide? No. Was that a Menominee thing?
It was a Menominee thing, the Grit. No?
No, I don't. We didn't. No.
No. I know a guy.
But I love the newspaper.
Who literally became a millionaire selling pots and pans door to door.
Yeah, I believe that.
True story. Pots and pans door to door made so much money you can't believe it.
Yeah, I do believe it. I think that can happen. And pots and pans, if you can get in there, turn on the stove and do a demo how it doesn't burn. And, people will be like, okay. And then now they have all these payment plans. They used to not have that, but they just sell that to another company and they're the ones who hound you. But, I don't know. I think that's good experience. As I told my kids, and I'm sure you've told yours, is that you growing up, or you need to do a retail business. You need to either be a waiter, waitress, politician, door-to-door salespeople, because you learn that most people are nice, but some aren't.
Yeah, I totally agree. No question.
Some can be real jerks.
No question about it.
So But door-to-door is probably a little bit more dangerous, or maybe the media's, but you worry more about kids getting kidnapped.
Absolutely. So I would never let my granddaughters go and do something like that.
Yeah, but a lot of times when people come to the door, it's the two brothers or their two friends. You know, they take turns, which is fine. Yeah. I mean, they should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Got this one. Grit is a magazine, formerly a weekly newspaper, popular in the rural United States. Oh. During much of the 20th century, it carried the subtitle America's Greatest Family Newspaper. Grit. You didn't have that around here?
We weren't rural.
Okay. Got this one text. If you signed up at local businesses for, say, free tickets to the circus at the Brown County Arena, then all of a sudden you're getting a phone call from a smoke detector guy that has the, quote, free tickets for you. Just got to listen to his sales. LOL. I did not know this. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that kind of like the scam that I got scammed where I thought I won like $5,000?
Oh, yeah. That was.
Remember that, Todd?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it really looked like you won $5,000.
Right. Yeah. I'll be darned. Okay. Didn't know that. We got to come up with a scam, Jim.
No, John. We have
to
come up with a scam.
Why do I mean that way? Not a scam. I didn't call it a scam. Did I say scam? I didn't mean
scam.
Yeah, you did. Oh, man.
I think you said you were thinking. But so the other thing that, now this has obviously progressed from encyclopedias and knives and vacuum cleaners to all this timeshare stuff. Do you still get those?
Oh, I'm
you
and your wife? Time.
Yeah. And it's, those are pretty tempting.
Timeshares?
Yep.
But is there a thing that you literally, because do you somebody carries commercials, I can get you out of your timeshare contract.
But, but the incentive to go, it's free nights, $200, this and that. It's like, wow, why don't we do that? So they must really, I guess, what do they sell? 1 out of 5? When I read something about that?
Not sure.
Yeah. That seems like a lot.
Yeah. No, that's the kind of pressure they put on.
But then you can't get out of them, right? If you have a timeshare, well, it's like...
I just know that you've got to bring your wife. You got to disclose your income, and because they're gonna get a clientele that I can afford it, you know. But my wife would never. She'd never do that. I would love to just go to those and make a living off just traveling and say no,
getting free breakfast,
free hotel.
I can see. Now there's the scam.
All right, I love it.
We came up with a scam.
We're gonna do it.
Mind on the Mirror. Back after this. I love me some Billy Joel.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Billy Joel song?
That's a good one.
In fact, it's a song I want to play at my funeral.
John, that's just going to be pretty long.
I know.
You mentioned a lot of songs throughout the year. But okay. Well, all right.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
What is it?
Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
No, I don't know.
You don't know Scenes from an Italian restaurant?
I don't. I did.
Bottle red, bottle white.
Oh, yeah. If I heard it, I would know it. But I don't
know. What kind of mood you're in tonight?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Brandon Eddy, where the popular studies in the summer of 75. Remember that? You don't know that? I could do the whole song if you want.
Yeah, no,
I could do the entire song. If you'd like, I could do the entire song, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
No, I'll pass. But why do you want that? That doesn't seem like a funeral song.
It's a good song.
Oh.
Listen.
I can see pushing the casket down the... Yeah.
Well, no, Roll Me Away is going to be when they push the casket.
No, this is coming in.
Yeah.
A bottle of whites...
This could work.
Yeah.
A bottle of red. Perhaps a bottle of rosé instead.
You let him sing it, Jerry.
Get a table near the street.
This could be, that's a funeral song. Yeah. I like it. All right. All right. Yeah.
You and I face to face.
This is sad.
A bottle of red.
Is this perfect?
It is. Yeah. It's the perfect, but that's sad. I don't talk about that. Yeah. I don't like that song. Second,
I'm planning it.
I'm not looking forward to your funeral.
Really? So. Dom's got it all planned out already.
Yeah. Hey, this is a good one. We just got this text in. Zig Ziglar started selling pots and pans.
Who's Zig Ziglar?
Oh, my God. Zig Ziglar?
Is it a guy?
Zig Ziglar is probably one of the wealthiest everybody has. Yeah. I'm not going to do the poll thing. This is definitely a 90%er. Everybody has heard of Zig Ziglar.
I've never heard of Zig Ziglar. I heard of zigzags.
Zig Ziglar is, he's the guy where you...
Remember zigzags?
No, there's
oh, come on.
Is that cigarette? What's zigzag? Is that candy?
Rolling papers.
Oh, rolling paper. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I did. Yeah, I didn't read the label. I didn't read the label. I went right to the product. Okay. I opened it up and started using them. I forgot to. I didn't read the cover. Zig Ziglar. I don't know if he's still living, but those things where you go to those seminars and you buy the tapes and books, the cassette tapes and all that. That guy had to be number one. Yeah, unbelievable. He's the guy that said, you know, to listen in your car with your cassette tape, because a lot of people would drive. You know.
Yeah.
That's your university on wheels.
I've never heard of this guy. Todd, was he a motivational speaker or something? Or
yeah, he made all his money selling tapes and
okay.
Oh, he did. Oh, he died. Okay,
died. No, 2012.
Okay, he's 86. But I've seen him live. He was in Milwaukee. You know, when they bring in they bring in all these famous people and then they sell their books and tapes. And Schwarzkopf was one of the speakers. Larry King.
Oh wow.
The guy who, Christopher Reeves,
okay,
came in as like the wheelchair with the oxygen on the back, and then
and
those are all pretty good speakers, but I just go by the Zig Ziglar stuff. He was awesome.
I can honestly say I've never heard of Zig Ziglar.
Todd, have
ever.
You listened to any of his stuff?
I haven't listened to it. No,
but he is number one, right? Wouldn't you say?
He's big.
Like a motivational guy for that time. Okay. All right.
Look at this.
Okay, here's this. What is this?
This is Zig Ziglar. These are what he, you know, like you had Dale Carnegie, you know, begin in a friendly way. And this is what Zig Ziglar said.
Number five.
Top five. Yep.
Top five.
Expect the best. Prepare for the worst. Capitalize on what comes. Number four. If you go looking for a friend, you're going to find they're scarce. If you go out to be a friend, you will find them everywhere.
Isn't that nice?
Number three. A goal properly set is halfway reached. Number two, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude.
Totally Zig Ziglar. Yeah. Now, that probably should be the best one, but anyway, he's got number one.
And number one, if you can dream it, you can achieve it.
Then people just, it was just, yeah. He'd bring the house down, and then everybody like, okay, my tapes and books are on sale, and people go out there and spend $100.
Got this. Zig Ziglar was the best motivational speaker. We listened to his goal-setting tapes, and that motivated us to adopt our first child.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. That actually is.
That is awesome. That Zig Ziglar. See, I was starting a business, and I kind of got into him a little bit, and I did listen to him with the cassette tapes, got a cassette tape player in my car. I like Zig Ziglar. I like Dale Carnegie, too, but Zig Ziglar was my favorite.
I like that.
Yeah, that... How about that?
Did I do a good Zig Ziglar?
Yeah, it's close. And he had that kind of little southern and, but yeah, and he came, I think he came from nothing or nowhere. And, but boy, yeah, 86 years old.
How have I never heard of Zig Ziglar my entire life? My life could have been completely different if I had known of Zig Ziglar.
It could have been. Again, Zig Ziglar.
I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Instead of a bum, which is what I am.
Zig Ziglar would have been the first to tell you that.
Got this text. I'm with mine. I've never heard of him. Tina. Yeah. All right. We got to find some Zig Ziglar excerpts.
John, you've heard of Dale Carnegie?
Of course.
I don't know. I would put those two guys in the same place.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would.
Really?
Yeah. I just think everybody who's heard of Dale Carnegie. Now, Dale Carnegie had his classes, right? You can go take his class and get
certified.
Well,
he's been dead for like 50 years, all right?
Well,
Dale Carnegie?
That still goes on. You can still take a Dale Carnegie course, a Dale Carnegie class. He's still extremely popular, but... yeah, I that surprises me a little bit, especially you being in the media, that you wouldn't have heard of a Zig Ziglar.
No. Hmm? I think a lot of people haven't. I'm not going to do a poll. You don't like it because I always win the polls.
I
win most of the polls. But I'm going to look him up. I like those kind of things. I like motivational things.
If you really like it and you want cassette tapes, I think I can find them in my house somewhere. Because I did. I just...
What's your favorite motivational thing?
I like Dale Carnegie a lot. I mean, I've got his books and, you mean thing like speaker?
Like, no, just ever keep the, do you ever have one type thing in your head where it's like, this is your motto?
Yeah. I think if there was a motto I would live by, it's don't focus on the money, focus on what you're doing and the money will come. I've always believed that.
Okay.
That's never worked in my life. I'm still in radio. So.
Well, you're young. Yeah, I think that's really true because people are just, you're looking for the money you keep chasing, and that's not what you should be chasing. You should be chasing what you want to do. And if you are really good, people are going to recognize that. Customer service or just whatever it is, chef, you're going to be, you keep doing that, you're, you know, people are going to realize you and they're going to pay you.
I wish I could figure it, I wish I could remember what it is in Latin, but I was actually going to get this tattooed on my arm, okay? Fortune follows the bold. I think that's great, but in Latin, it sounds so much cooler. Fortunas, something.
Valose, zebose. Yeah.
Did you have Latin?
Yes.
I wish I would have had that.
But you do. You're an altar boy. You had to have Latin.
Well, I didn't. I just mumbled.
Oh, you just.
I learned in Latin, and then literally.
You memorized.
Literally, at the exact same time, they switched it to English. After learning all this Latin. Oh, man. Hey, we got to start a quick break. We got my good buddy, JJ Corn, coming up next. Carl Knight is joining us. Emily Smith, Sean Lynch, Greg Mills. We got a full cast. Stay with us. Mind on the Mayor. Back after this.